Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Required Viewing. This is our second-to-last podcast for Succession Season 3. Shams, are you ready to talk about Chianti Shire?
Oh, is that the name of the episode?
Yes. I forgot you don't look at those.
I never look at the name of the episode. I'm just like, Season 3, Episode 7, Season 3.
See, I always see it because my phone app that I use basically sends me a push notification with the name of the episode, like, whenever it airs. So I know all the episode names. They're not very memorable, actually.
No, they're not. But
except for Too Much Birthday. That was a really good episode name.
No, the Retired Janitors of...
Oh, yeah. Retired Janitors of Idaho was pretty good, too.
Yeah. So, whatever. Season 3, Episode 8, as I would like to call it.
The penultimate episode.
So, as you can tell, this podcast is not that well planned. Because normally, Zach, I know we do our stock thing. I don't know... To me, this episode is not an episode where I think it's worthy of like taking stock. I think we just have to jump straight into the big moments, because this is, whether you think it's one of the best episodes of Succession is subjective, but it's definitely one of the most impactful and important episodes of Succession.
I'd say it's definitely one of the most Succession episodes of Succession.
Yes. That's fair.
In fact, I was reflecting on my pick for line of the episode, and I was actually like, can I go with a serious line? Is that like okay? And then I remembered like, yes, the show is not just a comedy. It's every genre.
Well, it isn't. If you read that Jeremy Strong profile, then you know that Jeremy Strong does not think that this is in comedy and is actually very confused when people call it a comedy.
Well, I think the creators did call it a comedy, but in reality, like, this is the only show, I think, since Fleabag that I would characterize equally as a comedy, drama, and tragedy to some extent.
Yeah, but I think there's a big difference. I think Fleabag, Phoebe knows it consciously was doing both. And she was the creator and the act and, you know, writer and actress. And it's, and also like the comedy drama is a well-defined genre. This is different because, as you said, it's like Shakespearean tragedy meets like drama, like modern day drama meets like wacky comedy, right? Like it's like a bunch of mishmash of genres that I think is not, there's a reason why it's Succession. There's really, in my opinion, not been a show like this that meshes such different genres into one.
So what do we want to talk about first? You want to go straight into the dick pic or start with some of the more serious conversations?
The dick pic is a very serious conversation. So let's start with the lowest hanging fruit. Let's start with Shiv and Tom. Because they have had, their relationship has gone through a lot since the beginning of the show. And I think this was a very, they've been leading up to this moment. And it's exactly what I just described. It's funny, but like so sad moment where Shiv finally admits, and Tom, I shouldn't even say Shiv admits, Tom, I think, finally realizes that Shiv does not love him.
I don't know how to talk about this scene without talking about the scene directly before it, because I think the scene between Shiv and her mother, Caroline, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. That needs to be talked. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there were basically three big conversation scenes in the episode. There was Shiv and Caroline, and then Shiv and Tom, and then also, of course, Kendall and his father. I wouldn't say that's a conversation scene. There were three very big, like very deep, well-written, one-on-one serious conversations. And then there was Roman accidentally sending a dick pic to his father, which I mean, we don't need to talk about, you know, the stock for characters, but I think we predicted, at least I predicted last week, that Roman was definitely going to crash. And boy, did he crash in spectacular phallic Absolutely fashion.
Spectacular fashion. No, you're right. So, yeah, it's interesting. So the Shiv and her mom conversation, you kind of see there's always been this resentment between the two, particularly Shiv towards her mother. And it's never been fully explained. And you kind of see a bit more of it. But then the big kind of moment is when her mother basically insinuates that, like, it's good that she doesn't have kids and basically that she can't, she won't be able to be a good mother, right? And Shiv, who has zero desire to be a mother, but has zero desire for her mother to be right, that she cannot be a mother, decides in that moment that she's going to go to Tom and tell him that she wants him to be the father of her babies. But unlike traditional, when two people decide to maybe go towards parenthood, in this scenario, Shiv says, I want to have a baby with you. And then literally 10 seconds later, tells Tom, I don't love you and I'm too good for you, which is not, I think, the right way to try to have a baby.
Yeah, some interesting, was that supposed to be like role play? I don't know what was going on there. But also, let's also not forget the spectacular gaslighting the following day when Tom brought it up. I think not only does she not, like, she doesn't deny it or acknowledge it, but she essentially just plays it off as, like, I think she calls him, like, manipulative for even bringing it up. Like,
so I've always thought Shiv has been not, it's always, I've always thought that Shiv has been in some ways one of the worst of the kids from a ethical perspective, even though she has always thought, well, she was separated, she was on the liberal side, whatever, but she's always been the worst ethically to me, because I actually think that she doesn't believe in anything and only believe, she's like her dad in that the only ethic she believes in what is in what make will make her be more powerful or come out better in the end, right?
It's funny, it's like if you compare her to Roman, it's almost like Roman is, I mean, Roman's chaotic evil, maybe chaotic neutral. Shiv is essentially like neutral evil. And then I started to think, what is Kendall? And I thought, Kendall, probably chaotic good.
Do you think it's chaotic good? I don't know.
I'm not sure. Chaotic neutral, maybe? I mean, he is trying to be, like, he's trying to play the, like, you know, the woke.
I don't think he's chaotic. Well, I guess he's chaotic from his, he's chaotic in.
The juice is loose, Shams.
No, he's chaotic in that way. But, yeah, I guess he's chaotic. I would say he's chaotic neutral.
I mean, he's bipolar, so we got to put him in two camps.
Yeah, I think he's chaotic neutral. I think Shiv is definitely evil.
Yeah, maybe lawful evil.
Yeah. This is interesting. This could be a separate discussion.
I'd say Logan's. Maybe we should do this for the finale, but I'd say Logan's lawful evil.
Logan's definitely lawful evil.
And Cousin Greg is neutral good. We'll make the chart and publish it after this.
Yeah, no, this is a good.
I'm sure one of these exists. I bet we can Google succession alignment chart.
Thing, but we'll figure it out later. But anyways, yeah. I think to wrap it up, I think in this moment, after three seasons, I think it's safe to say that Shiv and Tom are not, whether it's this season or the next, they are not going to make it out.
Yeah.
I think it's like, this is the end. They will not survive their relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I felt that was already imminent from the beach scene, and I think it was the finale of season two. I know it was toward the end, but yeah, I definitely agree there. Do you want to talk about the dinner scene?
Yeah, I mean, so that's the meat. To me, that's the meat of the episode. It's, I think, what's going to be remembered. I mean, the dick pic will be remembered, but I think in terms of like quality television, like, thing, I think
that show is, I mean, that scene, that whole scene was like, you know, that is the gold standard of HBO writing,
right? That scene is the difference between what an HBO show is and what another network show is.
Yeah,
is that you don't see that scene basically in any other show on any other network. Mm-hmm. That quality, the pacing, the writing, the acting, the setup, everything, right? Every line, every moment. I mean, to the little detail of Logan having Kendall, his grandson Iverson, come in to taste the food, and the callback to the earlier in season one when he called Iverson back to the dinner. Like, all this, there's so many different
things. Yeah, he hit him with cranberry sauce, didn't he?
Yeah. There's so many different things going on. And I think it's actually the best exchange of dialogue in the show's history.
The other thing that was, you know, brought up as a callback, not just in the dinner scene, but also earlier in the episode, is the season one finale. I think actually that's been brought up a few times this season, but I find it interesting that in the penultimate episode, it was brought up twice. Once with Comfrey bringing up that there's a reporter looking into the waiter's death and end of season one, and then obviously Logan brings it up once again when he's talking to Kendall. Basically, when Kendall, you know, is trying to say like he's not evil and his father's evil, you know, Logan brings up the fact that he totally killed a kid. But my question is, the fact that they bring that up twice, do you think that that event of the end of season one is going to play a role in the whatever's coming in the finale tonight?
Do you want me to just jump to what I'm predicting is going to happen in the finale?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so spoilers for this episode. They did a cliffhanger, which is the first cliffhanger I think the show's done mid-season, where you don't know if Kendall's alive or not, right? My predictions is, one, Kendall is alive. Two, Kendall will, at the end of the season, turn himself in for the death of the waiter. And therefore go to jail, and Logan will die.
Oh, okay. You don't think it's he's going to do that to take down Logan with him?
I think, and I'm being bold because I think they're going to shake up the show after this season, but my bold thing is that Logan dies and Kendall goes to jail, and Waystar Royker is incomplete. There's like zero succession. Like, no one knows like who actually is taking over, and it's complete chaos. That's my prediction for the finale.
I mean, I don't really make serious predictions about Succession. And I think the best example of why is we all predicted Roman was going to crash, but who the hell would have predicted Roman mistakenly sending a dick pic to his dad?
But we still predict the main point we did predict, though. Like, him falling is what matters. It's like what we predicted.
But the details, I don't think anything about this show is predictable. So
the details, I think you can't predict, right? That I admit, but
we'll see. But let's talk about Pandora's box of dicks, as Roman put it.
Yeah. I mean, I think,
is that the first nudity on the show, by the way?
There's been nudity before. At the bachelor party at that thing.
Okay, season one.
Yeah, season one bachelor party.
For an HBO show, they use it sparingly, though.
Yeah. So the dick pic, I think, is, again, it's a great setup, right? Because this has now been built up for like two seasons. And it's so great in terms of like what we've talked about, the body language, like the non-dialogue language, acting that Kieran
does. I think we've said it in almost every single episode. We've highlighted some version of Kieran Culkin's physical acting. And like, the guy does two things. The guy delivers great little one-liners, and that's more a credit to the writing of the show, unless it's improvised, which I guess they do more improv than everyone does some improvisation except for Kendall. But the other thing he does is just incredible physical acting. And his entire body says more than any line could in that shot right after, you know, it cuts to him sending the picture, and then it cuts to Logan opening it on his phone. And then you just get this beautiful shot of him just melting in his little boardroom seat. And I don't think there's ever been a better like physical performance than Roman in this show.
Yeah, no, I think so. You and I have been singing his praises, and I remember I was getting annoyed that the writers were not giving him enough material earlier in the season. And I think they make up for it. Or at least even if they don't make up, I don't know if they make up for it. I think he just owns the scene so well that you can't help but not just give him the praise he deserves. So, you know, I think everything from sending it, like the smirk on his face when he sends it, to the confusion as to why Jerry is not reacting, to then the realization of what happened, like those three steps, right?
I want to go back and watch it.
It's a type of shot where, I mean, if I was James Lipton doing Inside the Actor's Studio, I would just play that clip and showing like how an actor can portray three very different emotions and thoughts without any dialogue in literally 20 seconds. Right. Yeah. Like it's like textbook material. Good.
There's honestly, there's only one other actor I've noticed recently for, you know, that type of non-dialogue facial expression or physical acting. And it's actually, it's in the finale of, season two of The Great, which I just finished on Hulu, which is very good. It's probably going to, I'm actually, depending on the finale tonight of Succession, we're recording this the day of the finale, by the way, but depending on how the finale goes, right now it's neck and neck between season two of The Great and season three of Succession for my, my pick for best show of the year.
I may start watching that. We'll see.
The second season got, oh my God. Yeah. The second season is really
good. Everyone's saying that. So. But yeah, no. So I think it's great. And then I think it's so obviously hypocritical, and that his dad is obviously saying how pathetic his son is for being with an older woman, where his dad is like with a much younger woman. And then of course Shiv being Shiv, who has no ethics, she just immediately pounces on it. But then because Kieran stole the show, the underrated acting was the scene with Jerry and Shiv, where Jerry just stone cold Shiv, and you see the difference between a veteran seasoned corporate woman and inexperienced, amoral, unethical person like Shiv Roy. And how Jerry just does not back down, does not give in, and does not let Shiv get any power over her.
That was a good scene. I forgot about that scene.
No, exactly. It was a great scene, but it's so... this episode is obviously going to be completely dependent on what happens tonight in the finale, right? And I said that earlier on the podcast. The finale will make or break this entire season as it's done in the other seasons. And a lot of the episodes and a lot of the moments will be heightened or lessened depending on how things go. I think this episode it's a great episode. And I think depending on how it has set up the finale and how the finale goes, it may be top five episodes of Succession. Who knows? Yeah. I mean,
I do feel like the best Succession episodes historically have been the ones where they randomly all fuck off to some exclusive European retreat.
Yes, that's true.
Bore on the floor.
Yeah, I thought it was a great episode. It made me excited for the finale, which, as you know, I was not that excited for going into last week's episode. So obviously the show is the show for a reason. But yeah, I mean, I know we jumped the gun. I predicted, I know you don't like to predict, but I gave my predictions. I know I won't put you on the spot to predict, but do you think this finale will create another cliffhanger how like season two did? Or do you think we're going to kind of end an era of Succession and it's going to create kind of this new era
where we don't know what season four is going to be about or how that's going to go. Like, that's how I foresee season four to be.
Yeah.
Like, when season two ended, we knew it was going to be Kendall versus Logan. Like, that was, no matter what, we knew that that was this, what the season was going to be about. The first poster showed that literally directly. I'm predicting that season three is going to end in a way where we will have no idea what's going to happen next.
Yeah, no, I think I'd agree with that. Yeah, keep it vague in general like that. But yeah, details wise, like how we get there, I have no clue. I'm ready for anything. It's on in about an hour as we're recording this.
So. I know it's on 55 minutes. Are you, last thing? Are you surprised that they've given Skarsgård such a pivotal and important role in this show now with this Gojo character?
I mean, didn't he win an Emmy for or he was definitely nominated for an Emmy in Big Little Lies. Like,
no, I know he's a good actor. His dad's even a better actor. It'd be hilarious if his dad somehow comes into the show later on as his thing. But I guess I was just surprised when he got introduced into the show. I didn't think that he was going to be. I just thought, oh, they just had him as a guest spot, like they got Adrian Brody, whatever, because they've increased their budget, so they're getting these guys. But I've been surprised at how pivotal he's been, and I've been impressed. I mean, we're talking Emmys. Performance for a guest role at a series, wouldn't put it past him getting it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what else is going to get that? But I feel like in terms of screen time, him and Brody are probably about the same, because Brody had like a whole episode, didn't he?
And this,
he's just had like one or two good scenes in each. Like, I mean, each episode was like not really about him, but he had, you know, a couple scenes.
I think
scenes,
he does great, and he commands the scene, and he gets.
I mean,
that
he plays that role. That the casting for that role is perfect. The like weirdo Elon Musk type.
Well, he's
almost like
Elon.
Half Elon, half Zuckerberg. He's more Zuckerberg than Elon.
I think he's more like Jack Dorsey.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Anyway, we should wrap up. You want to end with your pick for line of the episode?
Okay, so if we're talking comedy, it's definitely when Greg is like talking about like the dating game. He's just like, do you think there's like enough substance there? And it's just like the context of like Greg. Like,
I forgot about that whole scene. That's how good that episode was.
So comedy wise that, but then drama wise definitely when Kendall and Logan are talking to each other. And Logan says, I should have wrote it down, but that life's a game in the mud.
A struggle for a knife in the mud.
A struggle for a knife in the mud. Yeah, that line.
Yeah, and a number on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
My pick, as I alluded to earlier, was it was more of a drama line, but it was Caroline saying Logan's never loved anything that he didn't want to kick just to see if it would come back to him. I think that line leading to obviously like the next couple scenes with Shiv and Tom, I think was perfect and underscored most of what this episode was about.
Oh yeah. The parents, but they utilize the mother very well in the show, where she's not a main character. She's not in most episodes, but
yeah, she's a good actress, and she's actually probably more evil than the rest of them. Like, she just has that like pure.
Oh,
pure,
she has like that stepmother, like that Disney evil stepmother.
Yeah. Vibe. For sure.
So we're about 52 minutes away. So I think we'll end this episode. I know we tried to get this before last week, couldn't, but I'm still proud that we got this in before the finale. So I'm still considering us on our streak, even though we technically are doing it like 50 minutes before.
And we will be back in just a few hours to record the post finale recap, which I'm sure will go much longer than this one. But thanks everyone for listening. Tune in to episode 9 next.
See ya.